Well, it's good to be here with you, and I'd like us to look at this short little section in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. Let me read these verses again. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now you notice that this is when he came down from the mountain, and whatever else you're familiar with in Matthew, chapters 5, 6 and 7 stand out as the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks to his disciples and to these gathering crowds. You imagine that the size perhaps swelled as he went on. He talks about true happiness, what it is to be blessed, have a blessed life. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's reversing the age-old sense that those who are proud and upright, proud and confident and dominant and bold and heroic and so on, that they're the achievers, they're the go-getters in life. Jesus is saying something completely different. Those who've come to an end of themselves, the poor in spirit, recognize they have nothing. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, who mourn their own sin, seek salvation in another, basically. He speaks about the law, what is important to God. He takes the Old Testament law and shows that it's not just a matter of outward conformity. It isn't just a matter of killing somebody to commit murder, that sin covers the thought life and takes individual commandments in turn and shows that it isn't just the easy sense, I've never killed anyone, but it's anger and in sexual sins, adultery and so on, and shows that the scope of the commandments are far more detailed and intrusive, get right into our hearts and minds and find us all out and show us all to come short. He shows us that God is interested in the heart. He shows us how to pray. He tells us not to worry. He talks about entering by the narrow gate. Tells us to ask, seek, and knock, to seek him. Tells people that it's by their fruits that you shall know believers. And gives warnings about people that bold about coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, I did this in your name, I did that in your name. And he says, I never knew you. There's something about knowing God. And there's a warning there. And in the end, tells us to build our lives upon what he has said, to take these words and his teaching and to make our lives foundational on what he has said. And then three chapters then of glorious truth that people have preached through over many years, taking a verse at each time and going into it and rightly drawing great lessons from it. So it's a most powerful, wonderful set of teaching. The people lapped up his words. But when it's all over and he comes down from this mountain, suddenly he's just confronted by one man. It's quite a scene, actually, if you can just picture it, as he leads the folk. They're coming down, they're all hanging on him, they want to hear more, they're following him, and then suddenly in the road, a great jolt as if you like, the kind of ivory tower teaching, separated, contemplative, very uplifting teaching, suddenly hits the hard reality of human misery. In one person, that is one man, and he stops the crowd. Not by anything he says, but really by his presence. He is a leper. And when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Verse 2, and behold, a leper came. And you have this mental image of this leper just standing there and worshipping him. He's doing something that you don't find that these others are doing. They're following him, they're hearing him, they're astonished at his teaching because he taught them as one having authority, but they're not worshipping him. Not as such, but this man worships Christ. But he stops the whole crowd, he stops this huge entourage because he's a leper. And there's a natural revulsion. The people stop in their tracks. A leper. It's the worst of humanity, and it suddenly hits them in the face. Leprosy was something that was very confrontational, if you like. It was, you could see it. Not like some diseases that are hidden and nobody would ever know. But this was apparent right throughout this man. Luke tells us that he was full of leprosy. It was obvious, covered from head to foot. So you saw it. When he opened his mouth, you could hear it because it affected the voice box, made a kind of a grating sound. And just reading the commentaries, it's something that could be smelt, the rotting flesh. And so it confronts somebody right on. It affects everything about the person. Here is a man who is horribly diseased. And because of that, such a person would be an outcast. He would have no place in society. He would be an outsider. And if you've ever seen the film Ben-Hur, you'll know that there was a leper colony where Ben-Hur's mother and sister end up, and people go there to the leper colony. It's the Roman Messala who's grown up with Ben-Hur. It's his final kind of cruel act to tell Ben-Hur that his mother and sister are to be found in the leper colony, because he doesn't know what's happened to them. And he takes delight as he's dying to tell him that that's where he'll find them. Rabbis would throw stones to keep them at a distance. It's a strange thing, but as I understand it, it isn't particularly contagious, but there was a feeling that it was. And it was felt that this is something that you can catch easily. So rabbis would come, and if there's a leper there, they would throw stones to keep them at a distance. Don't come near me. And would give them a huge wide berth. And so that's why I think that this man probably brought the whole crowd to a stop by just standing there. We don't know his name. He's just known as a leper. It's one of those diseases that kind of dehumanizes the person. Sometimes people have spoken about this man's an epileptic, or this child is Adam syndrome. It's something that we tend to do, just dehumanize the person, and just they are that disease or that syndrome or that illness. And he, you know, that was the way it was looked at. He's a leper. He has no name, personality. He's just an outsider, a leper. And the idea of being outside society is even even found its way into everyday life and death itself. Have you heard of King Uzziah? He was a king of Israel who was proud, and he went into the temple to offer incense. And some priests confronted him and said, "Uzziah, it isn't for you to do this. You're a king, but this is a priestly role, and it's not for you." He was proud. He wanted to do it. And he was angry with them. And because he was angry, it wasn't so much the fact of doing it, it was more the resistance that he had to these priests rebuking him. When the priests tried to stop him, he was angry with them. And as that anger came up, so leprosy came. And he was a leper all the days of his remaining life. You remember the famous bit in Isaiah, when in the year that King Uzziah died. Well, in the year that King Uzziah died, and where they laid him to rest was in a field. They even buried him away from the normal tombs of the kings. He was a good king, but in that matter, he was proud and separate. So, this man was horribly diseased. He was an outcast, as lepers were. And very importantly, leprosy was a picture of sin. You'll notice here, in verse 2, he says, "You can make me clean." That's an odd thing to talk about a disease. And that's how it was seen. There is a tie-up between sinfulness and contamination and leprosy. "You can make me clean." And Jesus said, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. You'll notice in verse 4 that Jesus says, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest. I think that what he's getting at there is, don't spread it around that there's been a healing, but go to the priest, get him to declare it so that it's official, you are clean. But notice it's to a priest, not a doctor. It's the priest that makes this pronouncement. There's this tie-up between, symbolic tie-up between sinfulness and leprosy. It's not to say that every leper had sinned and it was a result of it, but nonetheless, there is this symbolic connection. And there are examples in the Old Testament of specific sins that were met with a specific judgment of leprosy. So I read about Gehazi, Elisha's son, who was greedy. And the leprosy that Naaman had, if you like, was transferred to him. You have another instance in Exodus where Miriam is jealous of her brother, Moses, and criticizes him when he marries he marries his wife, Ethiopian, Cushite, and she is critical, and there's a resentment on her part. And the leprosy comes on her, and Moses needs to pray for her that she's cleansed from it. The sin of jealousy, resentment. And then I said about Uzziah, the king, the sin of pride. So the specific sins, the greed of Gehazi, the pride of Uzziah, the jealousy of Miriam, are all met by specific instances of leprosy. God visits it. As I say, specific judgments upon specific sins, but it doesn't mean that just because somebody's got it that they must have committed it. It does tell us, however, how seriously God looks at us and how seriously sin is. Another point to notice about this leprosy is that it's incurable. It was beyond human reach. When I read that passage from 2 Kings 5, the incident with Naaman, Naaman was a well-respected leader, and his king, the king of Syria, writes to the king of Israel on the maidservant say-so, really. She says the prophet would help. Well, the king of Syria, Naaman's commander, goes to his opposite number, the king of Israel, and says, "Here, I'm sending you my commander. He's a favoured man. Man I respect. I really want you to heal him." Well, the king of Israel thinks he's inciting a war. How can I heal this man? Am I God to do this? It isn't, humanly speaking, curable. So the king of Israel knows that. The fact that you were not allowed to touch a leper is reminiscent of what happened to dead bodies. There's something final and fatal about it. And it's a desperate situation. And this is really where the sinfulness, the parallel with sin comes in. It separates. Sin separates. Leprosy separates. You have the leper colony. Sin separates us from God, separates us from one another. It defiles, it corrupts, it leads to death. And it's a disease we all have, unlike leprosy. And it's incurable. We are all affected, actually. We are all like lepers. And in this incident here, Jesus, how he who has given such great teaching, how will he deal with the reality of an individual who has ended up on the worst side and is a victim of all that life can throw at you? He's an outcast, he's an alien, he's affected, he's going to die. Jesus says to him, "Be cleansed. Be cleansed." He doesn't say to him, "Be clean." He's not telling him to do anything. This man has faith, hasn't he? "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." That's the challenge. You're able to give this magnificent teaching. But here is an individual. He can stop a crowd. It's a sudden wake-up call. It's a sudden jolt to the senses for them to go from the beauty of the scenery of the mountains and to hear this wonderful teaching and then to suddenly be confronted with this man. But Jesus deals with it. Be cleansed. He can deal with this leprosy. He can deal with this sin. And he pleads. The man pleads for his healing. "If you are willing." He doesn't doubt his power. He just doubts whether he's willing. Certainly the crowd probably wouldn't be willing. Some people who are sympathetic would be willing, but wouldn't have the power. He doesn't doubt the power, but he does wonder whether the Lord's compassion can extend as far as him. He's such a poor, miserable creature. "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." He's pleading to his will. Do you have it in your heart? Are you compassionate enough to extend your power to me? It's a remarkable act of faith, actually. He sees something that's astonishing, because right at the start of the Lord's healing ministry. We haven't read of any other lepers. There's no sign that he can deal with this, and yet he obviously believes that Jesus is more than a man. This disease, which only God can heal, he's coming to Jesus and says, "You can deal with this. You can deal with it. You have the power. Do you have the compassion?" So this leper sees something remarkable. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him. That there is the demonstration of his compassion. He touches this man. Everybody else would run a mile from him. They would not touch him, but he touches this diseased man. And far from the disease of the leper going on to Jesus, it's more the power and his righteousness being transferred to the leper, and he says, be cleansed. It isn't something you can do, but it's something I can do and I will to do. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. This rotten flesh is suddenly filled with blood as it goes through the little capillaries and the little vein. The nerve system is restored, just as it was with Naaman, whose flesh became like a little child when he dipped in the Jordan 7 times. Here, there is a remarkable healing. And it's not... this isn't just a picture of how, health and wealth gospel would take something like this and say, well, of course, if you've got an illness or a disease, then go to Jesus and he'll heal you. That is missing the point. The point here is the parallel with sin that is clearly there throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament. And Jesus is saying, I can deal with leprosy, which is temporal, which is limited to this life, which can certainly affect you, but it can only affect you for a short while. I can deal with the far greater thing that it symbolizes. It symbolizes sin, it symbolizes alienation from God, symbolizes corruption, defilement, symbolizes death. I can and I will deal with that. Just be like this leper. Trust me. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And this passage shows that there is the great love of Christ here. He is, Mark's gospel says, moved with compassion. He puts out his hand, he touches the leper. Complete contrast to the rabbis throwing their stones to keep him at a distance. You see, the power of Christ healing the hopeless is absolutely defiled, riddled with the disease, and yet he is instantly cleansed. You see the deity of Christ. Only God can do this. Jesus Christ is God. Here is the proof. And here is the great willingness of Jesus. Verse 3, he puts out his hand, touches him, and says, I'm sure there would be some delight and smile as he says this, I am willing. Don't tout my willingness. I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. What about our sin? That thing that plagues us, will take us down to the grave, it defiles us. Here is forgiveness in Christ and in Christ alone. Nowhere else. May it be that we all find peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord, for his name's sake. Amen.